We're recording now.
No.
See, are you sure we're not recording?
No, I'm not sure. Because actually, that's not true. I am sure
that we are recording.
We are?
Are we?
Recording.
We're not.
Yes.
Wait, what? We are recording.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now?
I could tell by your tone. Your tone changes a little bit.
My tone?
Yeah, it changed a little bit. It got a little more like, here we go. Zen Doug, ready. Here we go. Boom. On the podcast. We're recording.
Okay. Well, let me stop and then I'll be unzen. Ready? I am Doug Friedman.
I am Kenzie Genest.
And this is Your Mental Breakdown,
the podcast.
That we are actually recording right now.
Are we, though? I don't believe you for some reason. Oh my God.
Yes, we are recording.
There's some chaotic energy in this room today, folks.
Yeah, and I'm a little perturbed that I still have residue of a cold. I'm not sick. I don't feel sick, but I sound.
You sound sick.
Right.
I almost didn't come today.
You sound sick.
You sound sick, bro.
You sound sick, bro.
No, your voice is honestly like your actual voice, but like extra. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like, haven't you said this before? Don't make me say it. Oh, no. It's going to sound like I'm insulting you.
No, no. Insult me.
Your voice is a little nasally already, right?
Your voice is a little nasally.
Instant defense. Okay, I know it sounds like I'm attacking you. Why did like a Midwestern accent?
I don't know.
I just noticed
that. I'm like, God. Wow, are you from Chicago?
Sometimes
Fargo?
That happens.
What happened?
Oh, that's what we're watching. I'm watching The Bear.
The Bear.
Have you seen The Bear?
No, I have not seen The
Bear.
We
just started it.
Isn't that a cooking show?
When you say cooking show, I think of the Food Network. And it's certainly not like a Food Network cooking show.
Okay.
I don't want to bypass your sickness. We will get back to that, I swear. The therapist in me does not want to ignore the fact that you are sick. But the person in me, the human, is like, we're watching The Bear and it's fucking crazy. Have you seen it? Doug, these are two things now. You haven't seen The Bear? And, yeah. Well, I can't even talk. I just started watching it and I've watched the first two episodes and it's been out for like years,
I think. Is it a show about a cooking show?
Right. So it's not like a Sara Lee cooking show where, you know, she's cooking and now I'm thinking of the meme of her like pouring vodka.
I'm just thinking Gordon Ramsay, but okay.
Yeah, or Gordon Ramsay. That's not Food Network though, is it? That's like...
No, it's a cooking show.
Right. Okay. So anyway, this is a scripted show that is not showing you how to cook. It's not educational. It is...
Perfect.
Dark. It's about trauma. It's a lot of psych... Not interested.
No, it's hard for me to watch that stuff.
No, you're right.
I work with that all the
time. This is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
Is that we started watching it and I'm like, holy shit, I don't know if I can handle this. It is incredibly stressful. Ooh. Like I was having heart palpitations while watching this.
Wow.
And the man, the lead guy, is smoking hot. May I just add, like a delight to look at and watch. Like absolute delight. However, my heart was racing watching this show. And
wait,
I think...
And this is Nathan Fielder?
No, God. No, but you know what's funny? If you could combine Nathan Fielder's personality with the guy who stars in The Bear into one human, that's my dream person.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nathan Fielder, that was the other show you were telling me I have to watch.
Yes. Okay, Nathan Fielder, The Curse specifically, but I would start with Nathan for You, and that's how you'll know if you're into Nathan Fielder. Like his sense of humor is incredibly dry. So dry.
Mm.
So, 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 so very dry. And commits to the bit fully. It's like improv. I don't even know what his deal. I don't know if he went to comedy school or what. I'm not a real fan because I don't actually know his history. But my God, he's just smart. He's brilliant. And it's all like commentary, obviously, on like real life things.
Did you watch The Office?
Of course.
Okay. Like that? Like Steve Carell style?
Yes. It is cringe.
Yeah.
It's the cringe humor. Yeah. Right, where it's almost... No, it is very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
He like specializes in working with real people and he's basically making fun of like reality TV because he is aware of what's going on, but they're not. And it's, oh my God.
See that description? That's why, you know, we have this mutual love of the show Rick and Morty. That's why I love that because there's this whole, are they aware that they're in a show or they're in a simulation or
it's the
what's
metaverse.
Going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I like that because it's animated. And so I know it's not real. Something like that show that feels real.
Okay.
I don't want to watch that. It makes me uncomfortable because I work with that all the time where I'm around that.
Oh, you're
all
talking
the time.
About The Bear now.
The Bear.
We're jumping from like three different shows here and they're all wildly different. But okay, yes. Rick and Morty, The Curse / Nathan Fielder, and then The Bear.
Right.
I can understand why you wouldn't want to watch The Bear. In fact, I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch The Bear.
Ooh, okay.
I watched the first two episodes and I'm like, huh. My partner and I looked at each other last night. We were like, Mad Men or The Bear? And we were like, Mad Men, we can't. The Bear is just too much.
You know, sometimes I would have shows that are like the good acting shows and the dramas and this. And then sometimes you need something light.
Feel good. You know? Mindless. Yeah, fulfill that like distraction.
Yeah, I get it. I need that sometimes.
Yeah,
I need
the we distraction. All do. Especially when you're sick, right, Doug? Tell us how
you're
feeling.
I'm not sick. I'm sick of...
But I that we'd come back to this.
You did. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Thanks
I
so much.
I do feel the residue of the sickness. I'm not sick still, but I sound it.
You sound horrible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's and funny because in a moment we will hear Sarah, who is also sick in the session.
Yes.
Right.
Funny how that happens.
Right?
Parallel process?
Parallel process.
Question mark?
There you go. Sort of. Y'all know what parallel process means?
What do y'all know about parallel process?
Tell me, Kenzie. What is parallel process?
Oh, God. I knew you were going to do this to me. Fuck.
Do you feel like you're in school now?
Yeah. Always, Doug. Always. I'm a student of life. No. Parallel process. It's kind of what it sounds like, you know? You are working on something or going through something that someone else is also going through, maybe that is like in your circle, in your world, and you can like see the parallels of the process.
Which, if you're watching a TV show, it's just kind of cool if you see a character that's going through something that you're going through. And often a lot of shows are written where there's a theme for the show and everybody seems to be going through like the same thing because there's, this is the lesson or the moral of the story, right?
Right. Yeah. It all comes together at the end. Like, ooh, yeah.
In therapy, there's something about the parallel process for a therapist where if you realize a client's going through something similar to what you're going through, you have to compartmentalize the crap out of that so play that out with the client. You deal with it on your own.
Right. Oh, and it's crazy when it comes up and they hit something and they say something that you are also currently dealing with. You're like, oh my God, swallow it.
I have had colleagues reach out to me and say, hey, can I transfer this client over to you or someone in your group? Like, oh, why? What happened? Well, there was this dynamic and that hits too close to home for me and I can't really work with them effectively now.
That's good though, like to be able to have that awareness, I guess, right? That's kind of part of the job is to know what you are comfortable working with.
And I never think that that's the shortcoming of the therapist. I think the shortcoming is not being able to see that and name it.
Some people believe that a good therapist can work with a bunch
anybody,
of clients.
Anywhere, anybody.
Yeah. Which is like community mental health, right? Like you can work with anybody and you have to. How realistically are you going to be the right therapist for just about any demographic?
Right.
Like it's just not possible.
I think there was a time in my career where I felt like I could work with anybody. And I wanted to hone that and be able to hone it and own it that I can work with anybody.
Hone it and own it. Selling t-shirts next
trademark
month.
Right. That's for me, that was something big in my process learning as a therapist to, I want to know how to do everything.
Yeah.
And I came up against certain clients that would have, you know, an active eating disorder.
Yep.
And while I can understand that, there's a certain specialty that deals with eating disorders. One of my good friends from high school and college does that. It's like one of the leading psychologists doing work with eating disorder clients, right?
It's a high specialty thing.
Yeah. And I would talk to her and consult with her and realize, wait a second.
I don't know what I'm doing.
well, not enough. Right.
Yeah.
And it's a disservice to the client. If I'm like, wait, I'm sort of stretching the scope of what I know how to do. And then and at some point I got to go, wait, hang on a second. I think you're better suited working with somebody specifically for this.
Yeah. And to me, that's like actually abiding by law and ethics because the ethics is scope of practice. Yeah, sure. They're in our scope of practice, but are they in our scope of competence?
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
Maybe not.
And that's, I think, again, and what you were saying too.
Yeah.
One of the big ways that you can show how competent you are is to recognize when something is out of your scope of competence and say so.
Yeah. It's a process, though, to learn that, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
It takes time. I'm just now starting to figure that out. Like, oh, what I actually like working with versus what I don't or what I feel competent in and like what I want to become more competent in.
Well, and it's a fine line between what you push yourself to grow, to be able to do, and to gain competence and confidence in working with certain things.
Yeah.
And not just therapy. I mean, that goes for anything. All of you with anything, right?
Literally
anything. It's pushing yourself to grow and do more. And then at some point going, wait a second, I don't have to push, or I'm pushing myself far beyond the line of competence where I'm now feeling incompetent.
Yeah.
And that imposter syndrome is not just a syndrome. Now it's true.
Now it's true. The worst nightmare of imposter syndrome actually being true.
Right.
So to bring this back to Sarah, how did you know that you were competent enough to, no, really, I think about this and like, I'm not doubting your abilities or anything, but I look at a client like Sarah and I'm like, holy shit, like a trauma, like cult survivor. Like that's some crazy shit. Like, how did you say, yeah, I can work with this?
Well, just like that. I said that.
You said, I can work with this.
Part of it for me is knowing early on some of the universals. You know, it was trauma. It was her experience.
Sure.
It was what was embedded in her at an early age and she wants to heal from now and she wants to work on now. Mm-hmm. She didn't come to me saying, I want to work on the trauma I went through as a survivor of this childhood in a cult. She came to me going, I'm having this anxiety and these panic attacks and, you know, something's off. So something is coming up in her life now. That is probably rooted in her past and in neural pathways that have gotten connected. And she wanted to look at that and, okay, that's what I do. Yeah. I can do that. And as far as the cult stuff.
Yeah. Did you know?
Beforehand? Did I know what?
Was that part of her like intake, you know, paperwork?
Yeah.
Like you knew.
Okay. Off the bat. Okay. Yep. Yep. Yeah. And that, and for me, I grew up with my mom as my mother. who wasn't originally a therapist, but became a therapist.
Right.
And when I was in my early teens and kind of helping her out in her office, she was specialized in helping deprogram people coming out of cults. So I learned a lot about that.
Yes, I heard this on a previous episode.
Right?
Yes.
There you go.
Okay,
there
this
you
makes
go.
Sense. Yeah.
So for me, that didn't make me qualified, but that made me experienced.
Well,
and it was like, okay, well, let's see what Sarah brings to the table. And of course, in my head was if I'm ever out of my scope or if there's something I don't understand, I can consult, I can ask, I can find out. But we never really got there. It's just, this is what we were doing.
Yeah.
And it works.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lucky. Look at that. Lucky you.
Lucky me.
I love when it just works out, you know?
Right?
Yeah. When you realize, oh, we're a good fit for each other. This is cool.
Yeah.
That's like the best part.
You know what's a good fit?
Me and you.
Oh.
Were you waiting for me to say it?
No, I was trying to come up with something clever.
Oh, shit. Oh, that wasn't clever. Thanks a lot.
What's a good fit is you out there listening to us. We appreciate you. And feel free to listen more. Find us wherever you go to social media and sing our praises.
You're doing great. Sorry.
It's this. Can I blame the cold? Can I blame having a cold?
Yeah, for
this?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though I said I don't have a cold anymore. No. Well, maybe don't rate us and review us based on how we've been doing right now.
No.
But
no,
listen
give us
up
some time.
To the session where I did not have a cold, although Sarah did.
Sarah did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of parallel process.
Yeah. A little bit.
How about that?
Let's get to it.
We'll be back in a bit.
Alrighty.
Other than the cold, how have you been feeling?
Good. I've been dealing with a lot of emotions surrounding my teenager son. Well, okay, so as I understand it, he was sitting with a group of kids in one of his classes. One of the kids left their AirPods on the table. He thought it would be a funny joke to grab them, put them in his pocket, and have the kid go, oh my God, where are my AirPods, right? In my opinion, he let the joke go on just that much too long, and then it became serious, and they called in campus security. Then he got scared. So it was just a comedy of errors, of bad decisions that he made. He ended up lying, saying he did not take it when he had taken it, but he stood firm that he had not taken them. There's so many random things that went through his mind the way he explains it to me. At the end of the day, he messed up, you know? He obviously shouldn't have taken the AirPods to begin with. he's always been this way in class. You know, he's basically bored at all times. He's always looking for a way to sort of disrupt whatever's going on to amuse himself, which we've been working on over the years, and he has been doing a lot better. He made one silly decision that maybe wouldn't have ended up too bad, but he played his hand for just that much too long, and all of a sudden it was a serious thing, and then it turned into lying, and then it turned into a whole thing. I am an adult here, and I'm thinking back to being a 14, 15-year-old and doing dumb shit. And then afterwards thinking, why the fuck did I even do that? But then having to dig your heels in because of either you're scared or you're embarrassed. And, you know, there's so many things that play into this. So to me, this is a life lesson for him. This is a learning moment. And as parents, we need to embrace what he was feeling through all of this. To me, the worst decision he made was to lie. He should have just at that point come clean and said, you know what? I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to steal these. I was trying to play a prank. I took it too far. But that's a rational adult mind, not a teenager mind who's, you know, scared of the campus security and now embarrassed in front of his friends. I always err on the side of non-harsh parenting or non-disciplinary style parenting. And I felt that this was a good time for him to actually open up and explore all of the different feelings. And, you know, his coach told him how disappointed he was in him and how he doesn't want a team member on, you know, a member of his team, you know, acting that way. And of course, that really hit home for
Sutton.
There's so many complex emotions happening here. But really, what was the most stressful of all was dealing with his father.
Hold for a second before we get to ex-husband, because, yeah, I had a feeling that was coming. I like that you're seeing it and sort of, in a sense, redefining what your role is. You're not the disciplinarian. That's not the role here. You're actually not even the teacher. He's learning the lessons himself.
Exactly.
The way you're describing it, you even said, I'm just allowing him to have all the feelings and go through all of that. And you can't do that for him. He needs to do that.
And that's actually really hard for me to watch him have to go through that.
Well, yeah, you're a fixer. You're a solver. So you can see how to solve this. We should have just done this. So just don't do that anymore and do this. Nope. Your role here is slightly different. What do you think your role is? Not what you'd like it to be, but sort of naturally what it is or what it can be. What do you think?
As a parent, all I can do is sort of just support him and encourage him to go through all of those stages.
That's huge. It's not, as a parent, all I can do is just, it's not just, it's huge. It's what you never got. It's allowing him to have those feelings himself, not protect him from them, not correct him from them, just allow him to have it and be there for it and support it. That's incredible. It's hard to do for sure, especially when we're about to throw ex-husband into the mix. And I'm sure there was a lot that got stirred up there. It's not just doing that as a parent. It's something that you've talked to me about several times that you never got. I wasn't allowed, like, I couldn't have these feelings. I either got spanked or ignored. And you're allowing him to have it for himself and being supportive and there to hear it.
And I did feel very at peace with how I reacted. You could tell he was very, very repentant. Like, he was very sorry for what he did. And it was almost as if he didn't really know why he did it, but this thing happened and he saw the consequences of it and he really took it to heart. So the day it happened, he dug his heels in and said, I didn't take them. He finally fesses up to the principal and he says, okay, look, I'm sorry. You know, I have this terrible feeling in my stomach. I just need to get it out. I did do this and I'm sorry. You know, I don't know why I did it. When I got home that evening, he was waiting for me. Like, he was waiting for me. He's like, Mom, we need to talk. And took me in the room and he just burst into tears. And I was like, I know exactly just cry until you feel like you're done crying, because I knew all the disappointment wow. and all the stress he was feeling in himself and in the situation. He didn't even consider the ramifications of all his poor decisions that led up to this right. you know, point. So I felt his sadness and his stress. And so I told him, I was like, we're just going to sit here and you're just going to feel the feelings. And then we'll just talk about it. There's no relevant consequences for a prank gone wrong. You know, I said, besides perhaps putting, I don't know, I was trying to think of things that would make him continue to feel all the feelings. So put it in writing. Put in writing where your head was at, how you would approach the situation next time. You know, I was like, whatever's going to help you learn a life lesson.
That's why, right, you're not the disciplinarian. And that's, you know, what we talked about a few weeks ago, that natural consequences. Well, the natural consequence is you feel bad. Remember, the idea of natural consequence isn't that you are deciding a punishment.
Exactly.
It's their actions determine what the consequence of their actions
is. Exactly.
So he did this thing and the consequence is he feels bad. And your role now is, okay, I will allow you to have that and support that and be here for it. How you parenting your kids is a parenting experience you didn't get to have.
Definitely.
You are being the good parent you didn't have.
Yep.
It's pretty remarkable, because that's the filter that I have on and how I hear it. And it's, wow, it's really powerful.
This was a life lesson. This was not a punishment or a consequence. This was something he has to learn. You know, he even said to me, he's like, Mom, I don't understand why I made this decision and then why I made this decision. And I'm like, because this is life. This is literally a pattern or a series of events that you have to go through. And you may even go through it more than once.
You're, in a sense, you know, explaining to him that why did he make these decisions? Why did he make these choices? Because he was feeling something at the moment, whether it was the guilt, the shame, the embarrassment, and thinking I could talk my way out of feeling it by just lying. And what you don't realize as a teenager, what some people don't realize as adults, is that lying compounds it. It doesn't work. You know, very often doesn't work. And even if it does work, most people, unless they're sociopaths, will feel bad about what they've done.
But I told him that exact thing. I was like, the fact that you got to a place in your own self where you felt so uncomfortable and not at ease that you just went to the principal and admitted everything tells me that you are a good kid and you do have a conscience. I really thought that was the biggest lesson for him to learn, was the truth-telling part of all of this, because right. that's really what got him into right. trouble, was digging his heels in and just compounding his lie until he just couldn't take it anymore in his own self.
And what I'm driving at is why that happened is because he was afraid of, anxious about, and couldn't tolerate the emotion that would come. You're right. If he just said, you know what, I have them. I thought it would be funny. I wasn't stealing them. I feel so embarrassed. I feel guilty. Man, I'm so sorry. But here they are. So many people, when they kind of get caught with something like that, they double down. They keep going. Like you said, he just kept it going because we don't want to feel that initial guilt, shame, or embarrassment. And then we just pile whatever we can onto it so we don't feel it, and it's worse. In order to be successful with that, you need to keep lying and almost convince yourself of the lie, and then you lose sight of what's real and what's not. I'm glad that you walked through this with him, and I'm glad that you allowed for the emotion. The story that I hear is he did this, he feels bad about it, he's having these emotions, you're allowing him the emotions, and maybe he can learn from this experience that it's better to have the initial emotion than to keep going with something and potentially make it worse.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so now, now we have to tell his dad.
So if it turned out Sutton did not take these things and this whole thing was just, you know, whatever, the kid dropped them and lost them, and you know, then why would I need to involve?
Ex-husband.
As soon as I found out that this was a thing, I went to message him, and literally as I'm typing my email to him, an email from him comes through, and he is just off, right? Like, just losing his mind. I'm, you know, not only disappointed in Sutton's behavior, but I'm disappointed in you for not immediately letting me know what was going on. By this point,
ex-husband
had already been looped in. He had already been looped in by the principal. He had talked to the principal. He had all the same information I did. But he's so angry because he didn't have that information the previous day. I told him exactly what I just told you. I was waiting to find out if this was something we even needed to be involved in. And plus, I know how much he overreacts, and I didn't say that in my email, but obviously I have a bad taste in my mouth. The last time I tried to co-parent with him, he ended up trying to take me to court and take the kids from me. So of course I'm going to wait until I have to communicate with him, which as soon as I knew I needed to, I did, or I was in the process of. So he's all angry and he's like,
Sutton,
having his, and he's big capital letters, punishment, the biggest punishment he's ever had in his life.
Ex-husband.
Just like, no, 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 no. So I responded, I understand that you're upset and that you're disappointed. It's, you know, I can obviously tell from your tone that this is a thing. But I just want to make sure that we both remember that our son is about to turn 15. He's going to have more and more of these kind of big life moments, these moments where he has to make decisions, and he's sometimes going to make the wrong ones. I told him, I said, I feel like this is more of a life lesson moment than a punishment and a grounding and a this and a that. Of course,
ex-husband
did not agree and went on for about three pages informing me of my responsibility as a parent to, you know, I mean, he just went off on me. So I was like, okay, well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I can't control what you do in your home, but what I'm going to do in my home is what we talked about. You know, I'm going to allow
Sutton
to walk through his feelings. But if it's really important to you, I was like, maybe a consequence such as community service or something that would allow him to view the less fortunate in a different light. Like, I was trying to give him consequences that actually matched the quote unquote crime in this case. I was, what would Doug do?
You're providing that space to allow for the emotion to be there. Dad just wants to do something punitive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting because just hearing you go, well, what would Doug do? Okay, what's a natural consequence? Yeah. What would that look like here? And, you know, to me, as you describe it, the quote unquote crime wasn't taking the AirPods. It was lying.
That's the biggest lesson here. Yeah.
If there was going to be a natural consequence from you or you by virtue of ex-husband, you know, not that we can control what he's going to do. It would be closer to something about, okay, you got into this mess and it kept getting worse because of the lie that you kind of doubled down on. So how can we double down on truth? It's sort of like issuing a press release, you know, where you admit what you were doing and not like the BS ones you see athletes and actors do when they just are supposed to, because that's what their publicity agent said. And here's where I get like, okay, that's what you did, you know, with the prank gone wrong. So you doubled down, you kept telling it, it got bigger. So write this thing out and we're going to give it to the principal. We're going to ask the principal if you can, you know, say it over the loudspeaker so everybody can hear it. Or so you can pass it out in the classroom that you have with this other kid. Or I want you to take this to the other kid, give it to him, and ask his parents to sign it and bring it back to you to show that they read it.
This is where my head was at, though, when I first started thinking of natural consequence.
I'm agreeing with that. And it's anything like I'm saying about, hey, yeah, have him read it over the loudspeaker, have him, you know, hand it to the kid. That's not, you know, necessarily to make him uncomfortable. but it's actually moving towards the truth and allowing the truth to be the thing, and you own it. It's not embarrassing. It's just what it is. And that's essentially what you told him. And that is 180 degrees from where ex-husband is.
Yep.
You know, if you wanted to get on the same page about a consequence of something like that, ain't going to happen.
No.
Geez. Not with that guy.
I did tell him, I said, you know, I think personally, the biggest lesson here is the truth telling. But I do have the instinct to make it all better and just take the blame. But really, really, in my right. life, with my family, with my friends, even at work, if it really is truly
right.
me,
right,
I've finally got to a place yeah. in my life where I've realized or I've learned that just shutting it down at the start is just so much better for everyone involved. It's just, okay, I took responsibility. Now, what do I need to do to make this better or fix it or my quote life consequence from whatever mistake it was or bad decision? But that took me a long time to become comfortable with accepting right away or admitting right away, I'm at fault.
Yeah, I love that you get that, and that's wonderful. And you can wonderfully parent son through this, because it really is about, well, the sooner you could acknowledge that, the sooner you can admit fault, the sooner it sets you free, you know? And that's, man, what a great lesson. Not only is it not easy, it's contradicted by the other parent. So I wonder for you, because my client here is not son, it's you. And we're spending like almost an entire session talking about, you know, what you said right when we first started. I'm going through all these emotions with this teenager of mine. Okay. You need to kind of go, oh, wait. Hang on, these aren't my emotions, they're his, but I'm going through with, whew, okay. And let that process through you. However, what I hear is, I'm now trying to manage ex-husband with this, and there's conflict there, and it is anxiety producing. And how do you manage that? And how do you deal with that? You know, you're doing all the right stuff as the parent. You are not a single parent, though. You're only one side of the equation.
But honestly, this was my whole brain power this week. And I don't think unrelated to what we have been discussing about my own issues with how I view myself as a parent. Am I a good parent? Am I a bad parent? Right? I felt in this situation, I would have put myself in the good parent status. Like I don't feel the level of anxiety that I normally do. Obviously don't like to see my kids cry, but you know, especially not my son. It's rough. You know, he's not a crier. So when he cries, you know that some serious shit going on. But it like you said, I turn it back to my feelings as a child. You know, I cried alone my whole mm-hmm. childhood. I didn't have somebody to turn to teach me a life lesson. I had to learn those life lessons on my own with no guidance. I try not to project that insecurity or that sadness onto my kids now, because I get the feelings in my chest when I see them or going through something this, there's so many big emotions happening in this little tiny fuck up. And especially when I put myself back in a teenage brain, they're just not working with the full set of tools yet.
Here's what I want to know, because I'm looking at your experience and you and ex-husband. You are creating, I love that you recognize you being the good parent. It's awesome. And you are creating an environment where both of your kids can come to you with an emotion and have that emotion validated. You are creating that experience for them. Wonderful, because you didn't have it. You get to relive it with them now. Amazing. Still difficult because you go through the emotions. Your co-parent in this doesn't do things that way and often turns it on you.
Yes.
So tell me for a minute about how you manage that, because I also look at where anxiety is for you. And if it's anywhere, this shit with ex-husband, whatever's going to happen with ex-husband is going to trigger it and bring it out. So tell me about this for you.
So in the past, when he turns it around on me, which he did do this time too, bringing up my role as a parent and trying to teach me how to be a parent, essentially saying that the only reason my kids are fucking up is because of me, really, if you read the fine print. Normally I'll get defensive.
Right.
And I'll say, well, you know, that, you know, makes no sense, or I'll try and reason with him or use my data mind. But this time I just answered him with a very, very calm, but very clear line. There was no justification. There was no defense. It was just, I understand. This is what I am doing. And now we'll carry on. And he didn't have anything to come back at me with, so that little portion kind of disappeared. He is checked because we use this talking parents app, which is submissible in court, so he can't verbally abuse me, which is why we implemented it in the first place. But it really didn't give him anywhere to go with the blame. I even said in my therapy, I'm learning to look at consequences rather than punishment, and I'm learning to remove myself as the angry parent and teach my children, you know. So I did. I just outlined it very factually, and he really couldn't come back to me with anything on that. Like, I didn't give him another, you know, I didn't leave my left side open for the next blow.
That almost sounds like you weren't gearing up for a fight, right? You know, you're not trading blows.
Yeah.
And you're not just taking blows.
Exactly. The taking blows, I thought, was a big step for me.
It is sport to him. It's a game to him. He wants to win at parenting. Okay? Well, I don't even know what that means.
Neither do I.
Right?
Like, all of us are just trying our best here. At least I'm actively seeking help from professionals. I am, you know, actively trying to be a productive parent, a positive influence, rather than just the angry punish parent. I don't know.
I would say, though, it was more in your nature, and why it seems like almost a seamless transition for you to be as you are with them now, is that's who you always were. It just never could come out because you had somebody
telling me what to do.
So, yeah. And somebody who has power and control over you. It's a pattern and a dynamic that you knew and you fell into, and you played that role and you did that. You allowed it to happen until you stopped. And it's Popeye eating the spinach. I've stands all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. And then you eat the spinach and you're this big muscle-bound sailor dude. Well, you are now, flex. You are now the muscle-bound sailor in this. Because that's the, I'm not dropping my left. Yeah, I ate my spinach. I'm good. I'm not hurt by this.
Yep.
The bummer is he's got more resources and can make things very uncomfortable.
Yes.
I love that you're using that talking app.
Yeah.
Because you can't fight that. You can't argue that. And I hear a strength in you. And let's say your spinach is truth.
Yeah.
Your spinach is, healing.
Yeah.
Insight, vulnerability, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you're eating a nice helping of it. It's coming out. It's coming across. You sound different talking about your kids than you did, when we first met.
Yep. And it's such a great feeling too. Like, I came to you a couple of months back. I think, like, I'm really worried I'm doing this parenting thing wrong. You know, I'm fucking up my kids, or I'm giving them all, the wrong.
Yep.
But yep. I really don't feel that. I have a totally different feeling. And I think that also helped me with my tone to
ex-husband,
because I was very confident in where I stood, how I was parenting this situation.
Right.
He can, unfortunately, parent however he wants. But I was very clear and very comfortable with where I was standing in my parenting choices. And so I think that he heard that in in my tone or in my correspondence. There was no question there.
I hear strength and confidence.
Absolutely. And I'm sure it will just keep getting more and more, because this is still new and I'm still implementing all the things I've been learning. And I'm talking across the board, not just in parenting, but in the way I deal with all emotions and how I face all the challenges and the anxiety levels. And all these things are sort of culminating into this place where I actually feel like I'm not fucking up. I am confident, and I'm sure, like I said, I will get more confident that I am making the right decisions. And I'm doing them with a much clearer mind, because my anxiety level is much lower, which is really amazing to me. Because it actually allows me to think. Before, I would be so much anxiety that I couldn't, I was like grasping at straws, trying to piece together things because I'm shaking. But it doesn't feel like that anymore. I feel like I can see pathways now, and I'm sure those will just get more defined and more amazing across the board. But for sure, I feel that. Absolutely.
I love that. And you're right. It will continue to grow. The more you do it, the more natural it'll feel. And your kids are seeing this and they're experiencing this. This is where they're figuring out who they are. You're giving them the tools. And in a sense, you're doing the same thing.
Yes, for sure. For sure. It had to start with me, because I wouldn't have been able to even see this healthy parenting style if I hadn't started from where we started, because I didn't have any of these sort of building blocks to actually see a healthy way to parent. So yeah, it's really amazing.
And we're back.
We're back. Okay.
Yeah, go. That's you.
And we're back. Okay. So Sarah's sick, as we said. But we don't really get into that, right? It's kind of like, okay, besides the cold.
Like whatever.
Because I think you've had a session with her before where you're like, how do you handle yourself when you're sick? What do you do? So I think we've been there before with her.
We have been there. I mean, it comes into play a little bit with some of the stuff that we've been talking about with her, like, needing to be perfect and needing to do this and needing like, oh, I can't get sick. I just push through and like all that stuff. Yeah, we've dealt with that before. This time was
been
like,
there, done that. Ugh, old news. Yeah. Okay. But now we're getting back into basically the theme of natural consequences, right? Which let me just say right off the bat, Doug, I'm fully in it. I'm in it. I've bought into it and I believe it. And I don't know why I ever questioned it, because it makes too much sense, actually. I think it made so much sense that I fought it almost. But remember in the first episode that we recorded, I was like, I don't get it. Like, isn't it still a punishment? No, consequences are not inherently bad or good. They're just going to happen. So anyway, let me just start off by saying that, okay, I'm there. I'm here.
You know, by the way, Sarah was there right away. With natural consequences. When we introduced it to her, she was like,
it resonated immediately. Yes. Yeah.
And now what we're hearing is it just naturally came up for her in parenting.
Yes. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And she's sharing this story. And it's funny because when a client starts sharing a story like this, at one point there would have been a time where I was like, oh my God, yum, 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 yum. Give me all the details, you know, like share everything. And you get so lost in like the content of it all.
Right.
But instead, obviously, a good therapist like Doug doesn't do that. But what kept coming up for me as she was kind of explaining this story, right? Like, okay, son is, you know, doing a bad thing at school. Like he lied. But I kept wondering, like, do we think that she's justifying his actions just a little bit, maybe, like just to kind of protect and kind of do her Sarah thing, right? By I don't know. I mean, it could be multi-layered, right? Like maybe she doesn't want to believe that even her son would do something bad.
Sure.
But also that, okay, like I don't want him to feel why are you laughing already?
I'm not laughing. I'm smiling. I'm smiling. Yeah, you guys can't see this, but I clearly.
Doug is laughing.
I am not laughing. I am smiling.
You were cheesing. Like big.
Cheesing?
You've never heard that?
No.
Cheesing, like cheese.
Oh, no. I mean, I know the commercial.
You were like, big cheesing at me.
I mean, I was maybe cutting some cheese, but
oh my God, that would be so rude.
Yeah. No, I think what I was responding to as you were saying that.
Yeah.
Is I remember in the session, what I did was I just went with Sarah.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
There was nothing in her that thought that her son could have actually been stealing something. This was just a prank gone wrong, and he played it out and he dug his heels into it.
Yeah.
So I went with that. And the smile on my face as you were saying that, I wasn't laughing at you. I was smiling because I also had the thought, probably in the session and compartmentalized it because it didn't need to come out right then and there.
Yeah.
Certainly afterwards, I thought about it.
Sure.
Huh. Is it possible that the kid really was trying to steal the AirPods and get away with something and then covered it up and got caught in the cover-up and never copped to, you know, the first part?
Right. And he's a teenage boy.
Right.
And not to throw some stereotypes on there, but like, he's a teenage boy. He's going to do stupid shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think Sarah also mentions. You know,
she's like,
she knows.
I used to do dumb shit too when I was 14, 15 years old. Yeah. That's exactly what she said.
Too. Yeah.
Right. Right. She gets it. You know, again, she's believing, and I'm believing her, that the values that she's instilled in him is what really guides him. So he was just trying to make a joke or play around, and then he felt guilt, shame, and embarrassment, so didn't want to cop to it, and then got stuck. And she went, yep, I know that one. I can relate to that one. So that's what I went with her on. And there was no part of me that got into like, you know, I want to get into the content and I want to go there. And it's funny, you know, Meredith and I used to talk about this a lot because she would get into like the weeds and get into the details. And
it's
and
really tempting.
Right. And she probably, you know, I could hear her voice in my head going, come on. I mean,
the side eye, like, come on.
Come on. He was stealing, like, he was trying to get away with that. Like, he's a boy. He was doing that. And that wasn't relevant to what we were trying to do therapeutically.
Right. And I'm trying to think, well, what would have been the next step if we did do that? You know, like what path the session would have looked maybe completely different, but maybe not. Like what would it have looked like if we did kind of doubt Sarah's intuition almost?
Or just go to the place that you were talking about, which is she covering up and protecting him?
Yeah. I think I would have even done that. I would have been like, are we justifying just a little bit? Are we justifying his behavior? Like, I don't know. Can we challenge that really quick? Like, but I don't know.
So there's probably a reason, consciously and unconsciously, I didn't do that.
Okay.
We have gone there before.
Yeah.
The theme of Sarah protecting her siblings in the cult, taking it on herself. If we're going to get punished, then I want to get punished knowing I did something wrong or somebody did something wrong. Like, I will step up and take the blame, or I will do that. Like, she has that in her. We've talked about that a lot. That's a common theme.
Yeah.
Maybe hearing you say this and throw this at me, like maybe we could highlight how that theme could be playing out with what she's doing in parenting her son.
Right. Maybe with just like a comment or just to throw it out there.
Sure.
I would have been curious, I think, just to see like what she would have said if you did challenge it a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. Like, would there have been a little defensiveness there, or would it have been like, no, matter of fact, like this is what I was doing, you know? Because sometimes she is really good at like, not defending herself or being defensive, but at countering your point, right? Or really like sticking it to you and just like.
And thinking back, I'm trying to think back to that particular session, and I can't specifically.
Of course not. Yeah.
Right. But I know our dynamic, me and Sarah.
Yeah.
Right. And I know she has such earnestness when she says things like, oh no, he wasn't stealing that.
Yeah.
And if she thought he was, she would absolutely have said so.
Okay. That's fair. That's actually a really good point. She probably would have brought up her anxiety around her speculation of it, right? If she didn't.
And she, as a mom, she's a darn good mom, right? So if she had that mommy radar going off of, hang on a second, no, he's full of crap. He was trying to pocket those and sell them for, you know, a Game Boy or something like that, or whatever the kids are into these days.
A Game Boy. Sorry, I just did the thing. A Game Boy of all things. Ooh, a Nintendo Switch.
Are those handhelds? Are those handhelds?
Well, what do you mean by handhelds?
like if I was going to steal somebody's AirPods and sell them, I could probably get like, you know, $40 for them or something, right?
I actually have no idea, but you're so probably right.
What can I buy for $40? Probably somebody's old Game Boy.
Yeah, that's probably true.
On that, like, was my eBay. Thinking as a teenage boy.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Not on eBay. I want to do it somewhere on campus. Like
behind the building.
That's right.
Yeah.
Underneath the bleachers.
Right? Of course, yeah. Because Doug was a little shit too when he was younger. See?
Oh, yeah, I was.
All little boys are.
I was. My mom freaked out when she found out that I used to steal.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I instantly went to your mom, just like the disappointment of like, damn, he's just like all the other ones. See, because there is a part of motherhood, mothers, parents, they want to believe their kid is different,
right,
and special.
Well, and I've told this story before that, mm-hmm, I remember my sister and I were on a road trip. She was driving. I was probably too young. We stopped somewhere and I palmed a cassette tape and we got back to the car and I showed her like, look, now, yeah, we've got something we can listen to. And she was like, where'd you get that?
Like, Doug, I don't want your what? Dirty cassette.
Not
tape.
Only did she not want it, she made me take it back to the store and give it back.
Juliana did?
Yeah.
Oh, shout out Juliana.
Right? So, yep, I got busted and...
That's awesome.
Fast forward to, I would never do that now.
Yeah.
But I had to, as a teenage boy, go through that and learn.
Yeah.
And figure it out for myself and try that on, right?
Yeah, before your brain was fully developed. You would, sure, never do that now.
No, right? No. And that's something that I think she was looking at, but not in terms of stealing or not stealing, but in terms of lying and covering something up and getting caught in the emotion of it. And this is, again, beautiful for her.
Oh, it's so good.
Right?
It's so good. When you said, like, she's obviously such a good mom. I literally, in my notes here, was just like, oh my God, she's such a good mom. Like, just as a person who has parents, like, I'm like, I wish there were more moms like Sarah. Like, oh my God, she's just, I mean, the fact that she took this as an opportunity after just kind of learning the natural consequences thing, right? And she naturally took this as an opportunity to explore his feelings around this situation. Are you kidding? Who does that? Like, that is incredible.
Right.
And you make a good point in this too, that it almost comes naturally to her to be like emotional and focus on this with her kids, because it goes in line with her not being that disciplinary parent and like not being, you know, she said like, I'm just not that type of parent that's going to like punish you and scold you. So like, what do I do? You know? And it's like, this is perfect. This is what you do. Like, you sit with them in the natural consequence that is feelings about it.
Amazing.
Freaking awesome.
It was amazing. And, you know, right after we had the session of reparenting yourself with natural consequences.
Yes.
Because she's doing that. And she realized, I knew how he was feeling in that moment. So yeah, cry until you're done crying.
Yes. Oh my God.
God, what a great line.
The fact that he burst into tears with her, I literally, notes, good.
Right.
Good.
Right. Hell, and that she could sit with that. It wasn't like, okay, now I need to correct this. Like,
yes,
she was telling me like a while ago with her daughter, when she brought home the C and was feeling horrible about that. Okay, how do we correct this? Or when she was reading a book and started crying, like, okay, well, don't cry.
Well, yeah. And that's really coming from like her anxiety, her control, right? Like her trying to really control the situation and like, oh God, feelings are bad. Like, what do I do?
Right.
And it's like, no, we're just going to move through this. We're going to process this together. And I'm just, my presence is enough here to just sit with you in this.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Right. Yeah. And her saying like, okay, we need to just get this out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling it like, oh, it's going to eat you up. It's going to eat at your stomach and you're going to feel this. Like, just get this out.
Right, which is like the number one lesson I think she learned in therapy, right? Like from the get-go was just like, feel your feelings, right? Whatever that means for you. Now she is naturally translating that into her kids, into being a parent. Oh, it's so good.
Right. Well, and being a parent. And then, of course, she is a co-parent.
Oh, God.
So that's...
Sorry, I mean, what?
Yeah. Right. We kind of pinned that in the beginning because I wanted to lean into this part with her, which we did.
Yeah.
And then we came back to, oh, right. Yep. As much as I'm learning about natural consequences and doing all this, there's a co-parent over here that isn't necessarily taking the same route that I'm taking.
No, not even the same freeway, not the same, like nothing, like not in the same car, just absolutely different in every way.
Right.
I mean, clearly it goes without saying. She was, I mean, maybe it does go with saying. Wait, what's the inverse of that phrase?
I'm going to say it
because maybe it doesn't go without saying. She was protecting herself a little bit, right? From maybe not telling the co-parent, you know, dad about the situation from the get-go. Do you think there was an element of like, classic, just kind of like, I don't want to deal with that right now.
Absolutely.
Like, fuck, I don't want to deal with that right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And she even said, well, this could have turned out to be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just see how this plays out.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then I'll tell him when I need to.
But that to me, I also was like, I wonder if that was also like a little, like a defense kind of mode of like, oh, well, like I didn't have to tell him, you know, but I don't know. I'm not a freaking parent. I'm not going to tell you what's the right or wrong thing to do. There's no answer, but.
Well, right. And hang on a second. I'm not a parent.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And many parents aren't contentious co-parents. Mm. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it really
right?
is.
It's so tough.
Bowser level, beast level right. mode, whatever.
Yeah,
it's, that's how I imagine it.
Right. Yeah. It really is. And that's going, oh man, I don't want to bring this to him because mm-hmm. of how he might deal with it with the kids. And she was right.
I know. I was going to say the confirmation bias was real. It was right. confirmed.
It was all like punish, yeah. punish, punish, punish.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And attacking her too, as if right. it's all her fault.
Like, why didn't you tell me earlier? Well, I think the beauty is that they have this app where they communicate and a lot of co-parents
yeah,
do this. Like the courts
awesome.
Will have them do that. Anything that has to do with the kid, like mm-hmm. even if it's the exchanges and all that, you mm-hmm. talk through this app mm-hmm. that is admissible
Brilliant.
In court.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be on good behavior on the app.
Yeah.
Right?
This is when technology is
Our
amazing. Yes. I didn't even know this existed, that app, but it's incredible. I'm glad they have it.
And it was cool too. Talk about, I guess, parallel process, maybe.
The good old PP.
Right.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh no. Shut it down.
No, it's more like poo-poo.
That
worse. she was realizing in talking to her ex,
mm-hmm.
he's fixated on this quote unquote crime and
yes.
wanting to punish. And
mm-hmm.
he's going, no, it's not about the crime. It's about the lying.
That's like what she says, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what she says. And that's what she was realizing. So
yeah.
even dealing with the co-parent,
mm-hmm.
it drove home for her, oh, this thing that's happening is about the lying. It's not about the action that happened.
Right.
And she even got to this cool place of like, well, mm-hmm. what would natural consequences of lying
yeah,
be?
Yeah. I had a question about this because I was like,
yeah.
Doug, what? You want him to? And I know you were saying like, we're not actually going to enforce this, but
right,
you know,
right.
what would be the doubling down on truth? That's what it was, right?
Yep.
Like what
yep.
would be the natural consequence? Well, he could get on the loudspeaker at school and just tell everyone what he did. And I'm like, holy shit. No, what? Like, but obviously that was a joke or like an extreme example, which you do sometimes with clients, right? Like
yep.
you'll throw a very like hyperbolic kind of.
And I'll tell them that.
Like, yeah.
I'll
which,
say, I'm saying this
God.
For impact.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes,
because
yes,
I wanted
yes.
to have that, like what just happened to you.
yeah. Yeah. The,
right.
Oh
you're like,
my,
oh
yeah.
God, no.
Yeah.
Right. That reaction is
yeah.
because it's so incredibly embarrassing. Right.
yeah.
Right.
And if the son had heard that, he would have been like, oh my God. And it's yeah. Okay. Like I'm never going to do that again. I don't want to lie because telling the truth like that would be horrible.
Right. Well, telling the truth like that would be horrible.
Right.
Right. And that's the extreme example. But what about you know, the other
true.
Thing I said,
okay.
like,
yeah.
what about writing a letter
mm.
to the kid and giving it to the kid's parents, you know, or something like going, hey, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It was a joke. And I was just doing this. And then
mm-hmm.
it releases that secret that you're holding,
mm.
you know, that lie that you're holding.
Yeah.
There's this truth and I'm not telling anybody the truth because
yeah.
I'm so embarrassed and I feel guilty and I'm ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you actually say it, usually the response is
keyword, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's never as bad as you think it's gonna
right.
be. Basically.
And it might, I mean, maybe on the end of the worst spectrum
mm-hmm.
is, well, yeah, that really sucked. It really
mm-hmm.
bothered me.
Right. Yeah. And they do have feelings about it. And
right.
then you have to sit with that and be like, yeah,
yeah.
your feelings are valid.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sorry.
It just keeps going. We keep validating feelings and validating feelings. And sometimes it's just easier not to say anything at all to anybody and shove it down and suppress
and just
it.
And isolate it forever and never talk to anyone ever again.
Right.
That's the answer to everything is that we're learning today. Just hide from the world.
That's right. That's right.
Sometimes
That's
we
wrong.
Do want to do
That's
that.
Wrong.
That's wrong.
That's
Don't
ineffective.
Do that.
No.
Don't do
and
that.
It's, again, I think brilliant that it comes on the heels of Sarah and I talking about this
mm-hmm.
and working on this, and she is actually doing it. She is walking her walk right now with her kids.
So beautiful.
And we highlight in the end how, look at that. What you were doing was you were allowing for these emotions to come in.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do your Sarah thing by going, "What? Where's the lesson in here?"
Yeah.
Right.
But that's okay. Awesome. Like to be able to say like, this is a life lesson, you know, it's not this like horrible, horrible tragedy or crime, you know, it's right. Like, this is just another bump in the road.
Right.
It's life.
And it really did get her to kind of look and say something that was, I think, pretty emotional without me having to drive home. Let's make it subjective and make it about your emotion, where she was like, yeah, I didn't have this. I didn't have somebody I could turn to when these emotions came up.
Yeah.
And she is being now what is actually in her nature. She is an incredibly emotional person.
Yeah.
But she's learned not to because that wasn't allowed. Mm. Right. So she is creating an environment where it is allowed and it's encouraged. So she's really healing herself by virtue of parenting her kids.
Yeah. And she said, oh, this is another thing where I was like, oh my God, this really hit my heartstrings. But she said, it had to start with me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, my little, speaking of inner child, oh my God, the inner child in me just went, oh God damn, that hit so hard. Like for a parent to take that accountability and say, oh yeah, it had to start with me healing in order to be a good parent.
Exactly. That starting with her, she even said, I wouldn't have been able to even see this healthy parenting style if I hadn't started where we started.
Right. Yeah.
So she's putting in these building blocks and she's doing this now. And it's because she's realizing that this is the start, she is growing herself.
Yes. It's the experiential piece of therapy, right? Like actually going through the motions and living it. And oh gosh, I could go on so many paths like down this road now, but basically just the best part of therapy is the experiential learning of it and like generalizing that to other parts of your life.
Totally. Which she's experiencing all the time. Like she goes, and it's happening here and it's happening here.
Because you met her where she's at and it's just naturally blooming from there.
It is grammatically incorrect, but therapeutically absolutely effective. Meet them where they're at.
Yeah. What did I say?
That's what you said.
Meet them where they're at.
You're meeting her where she's at.
You're meeting her. You met. I think I said you met her. What did I say?
Where she's at.
How is that? Wait, hold on. I met her where she's.
Oh my God.
You're blowing my brains out
right now.
And
you are killing my cold right now.
That so sorry.
You meet them where they are, not where they are at.
I said is. Oh my God. That's no, so is is fine. Meet your client where they is. Are you kidding? Meet your. Doug's going to die today.
Oh, man. We're both dying.
Oh, no. Are we going to be able to do another one after this?
No. I think we got to do nothing right now. I think this is the note where we go, all right, we will. Oh, you got to do it.
All right. We are going to wrap this up because Doug is currently dying, if you can hear that in the background.
But I feel great.
Oh, he sounds great too, doesn't he? He sounds wonderful. And we'll be back for another lovely episode when he's feeling better, maybe.
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 All right.
Maybe not.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.